Welcome back, y'all. All them silent claps.
I still don't have a mic stand. Yeah.
When'd you move?
Let's not talk about that, man. I'm doing great. I'm amazing.
All right, don't worry. That next stimulus going to hit soon.
I'm dead.
Lord knows I went out there and voted for Biden for one reason.
One reason and one reason only.
Ooh, that's okay.
Going straight to Red Lobster right after.
Oh my God. Man, welcome back to They Made Us Say It podcast here with your illustrious cast. And guess who's back? The guess big stepper back? Himself.
Hey guys. It's good to be back, man.
Lil V Chuska himself.
Hey, round of applause for this man.
Oh, thank you. Thank you.
I can't see it, but he's grown a very beautiful mustache. Oh, he
made it for me.
Yeah, you know, new year, new me, right?
Hey,
the mustache and the goatee and the end of.
I went with this year.
Oh, it's fat. He has a soul patch too.
Hey, gotta have the soul patch. I don't got no soul.
My guy had the soul patch too.
This is the most, though.
You know what I'm saying?
This is the most hair I've ever had, the facial hair.
There you go, man. You just need the pork chop sideburns. You'd be all right.
He still won't say ahoy matey for me, though.
No.
Ew,
nobody's
no.
saying that for you.
Yeah.
With your baby face.
All right, cool. Dude, I shave all the time. I tell you, I have a full-grown beard. I just don't like that.
Put you in a Gillette commercial.
Nah, those faces are way too smooth. I swear, they don't use Gillette. I don't think they use the actual product. They shave their face pre and put some fake hair on the face. Because when I tried to shave with Gillette, razor bumps everywhere on my face, man. Oh, my God. Never again, actually.
Yeah, so most of those supposed to shave.
Wait, what was that one?
Dave Patrick, continue. What were you gonna say?
No, I was telling Hassan, like, you're not supposed to shave.
People, yeah, he's told me this before.
We shouldn't shave.
I don't want hair on my face at this moment. I'll do that when I have kids. There's too much beauty.
You ain't never gonna have
around.
No kids, bro.
Whoa. Yo, you're coming there. Hi.
Never gonna meet nobody. It's all right. Just.
Ha, jokes on you. I've met somebody.
No, you haven't.
Damn. Ah, you know what? Let me take my vitamins in peace and let's start this show.
Yeah. All right. So what they make y'all say this week? What happened? Uh-oh.
Nah. Dave made me say, yo, being an adult is stressful. I did not ask to be here. Who the hell, like, brought me here? Who the hell made me alive? First of all, I didn't ask to be here. I was chilling wherever I was at, minding my own business. And then, boom, I'm an adult. Now I have to do adult things. I'm only saying this because I have to file my taxes. And it's a headache. I don't want to do it.
No, it's not.
Yes, to you, it's not. See, you're an adult. I don't want to be an adult anymore. I want to give it back. I've been bamboozled. That's not as fun as it is. I just want someone to do everything for me.
They swindled you?
They led me astray. But no, that's what they maybe say is responsibilities are piling up and I need to figure it out. That's what's in my
head. This. Got it, bro.
Honest to God. 24/7. So, yeah.
Styling. What
if you're
about
in LA,
you
got a free crib and you know.
I could put the $2,000 down when it come in. Don't worry. I'm good for it.
Where to buy it?
Me this week, it was more of just like prepping for things that have coming up. It's mostly just like related to like future film projects. been interviewing for a company that's been going well. So hopefully by next week I'll get to know. I have a third round interview, so we'll see what happens.
Hey. Congrats, yeah. Man.
Thanks, man. Yeah, I've been trying to hustle. I realized like now's the time to just like literally just like work my ass off. Like I don't really have time for anything else. Or I don't want time for anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big moves.
Yeah, big moves.
That's big step exactly. Right there.
Yo, that money's gonna come in. Stalin's gonna get a big apartment. I'm moving my ass back to New York.
Yeah. I mean, I'm gonna have like two roommates. So but yeah, like apartments right now in like Brooklyn and Queens are super cheap. Like it's kind of scary. Like
anyways.
Yeah.
Wait, how cheap are we talking?
I'm talking about like I've seen nice apartments for like for like 2,000, 200 for like a big 3-bedroom.
Apartment. The luxury ones?
No, those are still a little pricey. But I did see one in Crown Heights that we might take for 2,200, 3 bedrooms. They have balcony, private gym. Roof act like nice roof access, indoor laundry, lounge, and like backyard. So I was like, yeah, this is a good deal. And like
it that's was, in like, Crown Heights, Brooklyn though, right?
Yeah. Close to the train.
Well, how far is that from where Leo was at? Because I've forgotten how Brooklyn is again.
I think that's kind of out of the way from Leo's because there's no train next there. Yeah. You'd have to transfer.
Say less.
Yeah, because I think he's in Bed-Stuy.
Oh yeah, true. He is in Bed-Stuy. Marcy Projects was right there.
Yeah,
you know, I was out there in the projects, bro.
Tell
Patrick, I was out there. I was on the streets.
No, you wasn't.
Yeah, I was on Leo's rooftop watching everything from a safe distance. That's for sure. Yeah,
from a safe distance. All right.
All right. What did they make you say, Patrick?
I'm kind of a little bit branched off of what they made Stalin say this week, but basically, you know, just trying to move things around, schedule my time, my weeks properly. I feel like it's really important because even this week coming up, I'm like, okay, I can have this meeting on this day, but I'm like, you know what, let me move it to next week so I have more time freed up to do A, B, and C because you might not be able to fit the other things within that day. Even if you know you can get it done, there's no need to just like run yourself into the ground. Mm. So being able to do that and then I guess kind of like delegate tasks where you can at work or in real life if you're able to. I mean, I know what we're not all able to do that in our actual lives, but you know, at work, if you can do that, make sure you get it done, take some stuff off your plate.
Yeah.
That's it. That's all I got, man.
For sure. Oh, wow, the sun is rising and it's so beautiful. I wish I could show y'all, but I'm not touching myself.
What's the little Lion King song?
Circle of Life.
Ah!
Ha! Tapenya! No shit! Chibaba! Go now, ho!
Like, huh? What you singing?
Stalin goes, meow.
It's Black History Month, you know?
Stalin is Simba. Yeah. You see it. Big steppers everywhere.
Big steppers. That's funny.
So, all right. Look, y'all, it's time we talk about the topic for today.
Are you ready? Yeah, let's get into it.
All right, cool. It's not, don't worry. Don't, if you listen, it's nothing. It's nothing morbid. So today we're just talking about the hurdle of finance and resource when it comes to starting a business and or creative project. So this was kind of inspired by, and I'm kind of late listening to this, but I listened to Stacey Abrams' TED Talk and she pointed out three things that usually stop us in life, and that's fear, finance, and fatigue. And it just really stood out to me because even
the three F's.
Yeah. Fuck, fucking fuck.
Well, sir, just because it's a podcast is not me.
I mean, you might be saying that when it comes down to some
just lost right there.
But no, so with finances, what she said about that was it usually holds us back from our dreams. She said our dreams are bound by how much we have in resources. Mm-hmm. And she was saying finances are often a reason we don't let ourselves dream either. So
I don't understand that, actually. You mind expounding on that?
Yeah. I mean,
you heard that word?
We've heard that word before, man.
Okay, cool. I just want you guys to be proud of me because I said expound.
What happened to what was your word?
I forgot. We'll go back to the episode and find it. I need to get back to reading, see?
You just need a new word every week. Mm-hmm. Essentially, all it means is, let's just say you come from humble beginnings, if you want to put it like that. Or
like
you grow.
We all do?
Yeah.
Whoa.
No, I mean, it's not in like a negative connotation, but sometimes you just are on hard times. Yeah. But I think in the current climate, you won't allow yourself to dream because, I mean, let's just face facts. When you look on social media, you see all these people doing this, doing that. And it looks like people have it together. And that, and then you won't allow yourself to think I can achieve that. And let's not get into the whole,
if you comparison thing,
this and that, you'll get here for sure. No, but you need to work hard. Just as Stalin was saying, like, that's what you need to do. And that's the goal for me in my life is, yeah, I want to do some things that are fun now, but for the most part, I want to hustle because the goal for me is to make my life easier as it goes on, not harder. I don't want to live in reverse.
Yeah.
Basically, that's all it means. Like, sometimes you look at that hill, you look at that mountain, you look at the resources, the capital it might take to start something, and that just demotivates you. Mm. And you don't allow yourself to go after that dream.
Go after that. Mm-hmm. Okay. I agree with it, but I also don't, in a sense. Because for me, one big thing is patience. Like whatever dream you have, if you're not patient and you're very stuck in the cycle of wanting everything at the right moment, you want everything to happen ASAP, then
so she spoke about your journey, right? Mm-hmm. I guess what she was saying is that you could still be in it. So let's just say, all right, I want to start I'm looking at this disinfectant company, right? And you start it, you start to make some things, but then you're like, okay, then you keep seeing all the things that need to happen in order for you to grow that business. You're like, damn, like I don't even have the finances to do this, to do that. And let's just say your dream was to make this the next Clorox. And you're trying, but you really don't have the capital. So some people just get demotivated. And that's why she connected those three things.
Okay.
So
I can understand.
Yeah. No, you're good, man.
Okay. Nah, that makes sense. But also, it depends on you as a human being. If you're stubborn enough, you can make it work. But I do understand where reality hits the fan, where you're like, I don't have enough money for this. Like, what am I even doing? But exactly. It just goes as far as just making a small sample to see if, like, you know, you might even really like it. And you bring it down to your own values and study it. But yeah, a lot of times finances is what, demotivates people. Not me necessarily. Like Risky Corner, finances wasn't a problem. The money was coming in. It was more like, I'm starting to hate this, so I need to chill.
Right.
Yeah, kind of. So, but I do understand. I do understand that. What do you think about that, though, Stalin, with the whole finances?
I think it's a very
motivating people.
It's a very true statement. I mean, like one of the first things in like business is either you go into a market by either creating it or buying your way into it. And once you do your research, certain markets are like harder to like buy your way into or get into. The newer the market, it's usually the cheaper it kind of is. Well, actually, no, I can't say that because like some markets do need more investing capital. Like I'd say like when the computer industry came about, it was like still super expensive to get in.
Oh, yeah. And that remember when the Apple computer was like, how much was Steve Jobs selling the first one for? The one that failed miserably?
I have no idea.
Like back in the 90s, it was We need an intern to search his stuff up for us.
Well, just give us like a ballpark estimate. Like,
what? But no, he was selling the computer. A ballpark. And let me check right now. He was selling it for a ridiculous amount back then. I was watching a movie and like it came up. I think it was like, I want to say upwards of like 5K back then.
Ooh.
Yeah. And damn, people were like, you know, Steve Jobs is crazy. Like, and people, the company was like, what is wrong with you? You guys should watch a movie again, actually. It's a really good movie. Like, I'll watch it over now that I'm an adult and I understand it more.
You guys should read the biography, actually. His biography is really good. They talk about that, too. I did like his philosophy, though. He used to say... he truly believed that, like, people just didn't know what they wanted until, like... and you always had to tell them what they wanted, consumers especially, because it's, like... it's true. It's, like, who would have thought anyone would want to want iPhone or needed an iPhone before it came out, you know? No one would have asked for that. No one would have been like, yeah, I want this, so... Yeah, he was
I completely agree with that.
Yeah.
Because you look at all these brands and everything now, they pretty much, you know, they put stuff out there and they get people, you know, excited about it or make you feel like you need it.
Yeah.
But with that said, all of us kind of have business ideas, started a business or a creative project. I'm just curious to know your thoughts on what do you feel like separates those two? Or do you feel like they're one and the same?
What separates them?
Yeah.
The creative projects and what?
And just, I'm going to, so like, I'm want to start this creative project versus I want to start a business. Do you feel like there's any difference or I don't know?
Yes and no. One is fueled by passion and the other one is more something you could grow it and much more responsible. But the two do intertwine at some point. They intersect when your passion starts to generate some source of like income and you're like, okay, maybe I need to learn more about the business side. And it always gets there as a creative. You actually have like a small sailing path where it's like, oh, fueled by passion, I love doing this on my free time, let's do it. And it only takes that one opportunity to come your way and you're like, oh wait, I can make money from this, but now I need to navigate it. Wait, how do I do my taxes with this, you know? Well, what's a write-off? I could buy new equipment. Let's say I'm a photographer or videographer, I could buy new equipment and write it as a tax write-off because it's part of my business. Okay, now can I register this business? And then it starts to go down that aisle, the LLC aisle and everything else. But it usually starts as a passion.
I make these little custom tote bags or whatever. And
hey, leave the tote bags out of it.
I just, you know, I sell a couple here and there. Would y'all consider that, like Stalin, would you consider that a business or creative project?
Well, are you selling them or are you giving them away? Is it for yourself?
I don't know. Like I'm still selling them, but I'm not, you know, to Hassan's point, like I'm not going through all of that, you know, creating an LLC, doing any taxes, anything of that nature. It's just me doing it because I like it. And I just, you know, I make a little change here and there, but it's nothing that's like, okay, I can eat off of this one day.
I feel like that's like the beginning of like understanding a business. Like if your creative project was to first create like just the tote bag, I don't think that needs like a lot of materials. Like that seems like, and then like it transitions into a business idea. So they go hand in hand, but I feel like, yeah, I would consider that even if they don't consider that like a business. It's like the beginnings because it's like you're learning like inventory and how to create a project and how to like create demand for it and sell it.
Market.
True. Yeah. But then like that comes with that comes more expenses.
Yeah.
Stuff like that. But yeah, I think like they really go together. I feel like if you go into something creatively to just like make something. And like not really think of like the profit or the money. I think that's more of a creative project. But I think you do need, you don't need business for a creative project, but you do need like, a creative project for business. I don't know if that makes any sense.
No, it makes perfect sense. And yeah. I think all three of us, I would say yourself especially, we're all trying to create something, working on something. I mean, how do we feel about those? Do we feel any of those financial, I guess, ties like that might, you know, present those roadblocks? Even with this podcast, I feel like it's been kind of minimal, but as we've gone down the road, you see like, all right, we're looking into what we want to incorporate music. We want to do this. We want to do that. And each one of those has a dollar sign attached to it. It's not like, oh, we can do a one more free trial of this.
Yeah, nah. With music, I told y'all, but you won't let me put my own music on here. So
no, we good.
Damn. Again, as usual. See, this is what stops creatives, man. I'm trying to collaborate over here, and this guy over here.
With
man.
Who?
But no. I honestly, for me, I don't really look too much into finances. My only thing that I make, and I put it right back, like my business money never bleeds, or my business side or business side bleeds into my personal life. Like everything business is allocated towards business. I won't take that money in touch and like mix it with my personal, like, you know, expenses. But I do understand that, because back in New York when I was making these rings, like I had to figure out how to get the highest quality material for like, you know, right. a low enough premium price where everybody else could still afford it. And I'm still making some sort of profit from it.
How
and
long did that
I actually
take,
learned
though?
A lot doing that, because it, dude, I just went out there and it took a couple weeks actually. Remember right, when I so first like went to the Diamond District? Yeah, it's something that you have to take initiative with. You have to, because no one teaches you these things, and people are for some reason people gatekeepers. They don't let people in. Like when you're new and you want to learn about this, like you might even find someone who will take advantage of you, in a sense. So
I just want to say something to that. Expound upon what you said, using your word, right? If y'all listen with us, following us, and something you pointed out earlier, like we're all still kind of figuring it out, but we're all very passionate about what we're going after. We're not going to say we're experts on anything.
Oh, hell no.
I think the only thing we could say that we're experts on is that about hustling and being creative, and that's probably about it at the moment.
Yeah,
but
and being cute.
Okay.
Come on, what other podcast?
I can tell somebody
cute as us.
Got someone coming through on Valentine's Day.
Hey, my mom watches this, so
mama.
Mom.
You know, I think it's important that people realize...
Mom, I'm just going to be sitting here praying all day.
That's funny.
All day? He ain't say nothing about all night, though. Nah, but I think it's important that people realize that you need to go out and do these things. So you need to pick up a book, read it. If it's some information you want to know, you need to maybe attend a class. Maybe it's going and talking to someone. Maybe, to Hassan's point, maybe you don't have anybody to talk to, any resources. But like you said, you wanted to make your rings, you wanted to make your jewelry. It took you a few weeks to figure this out. But guess what? At the end of the day, you want to get that product to somebody. Yeah. So you're going to figure out how you can do that.
Exactly.
Continue. Sorry.
Also, yeah, essentially what I did was when I started, I probably didn't even have that much money. I just went to Diamond District. And I remember coming back to you and saying, yo, this guy took my ring and he said, yo, he's going to bring it back. Give me a second. My alarm is going off. He was like, oh, he's going to bring it back a couple weeks later. Don't worry. It'll be good.
Nah, I told you.
We brought it back. Yeah, Patrick is like, yo, we'll get your ring, my guy. I'm like, nah, I know where this guy works. Like, he can't move. I know exactly where it is. So, yeah. No biggie. He brought it back and tried to scam me. He mentioned a ridiculous price. I think he said like 300 and something for a simple silver sample. It wasn't even the actual rings. And I'm like, yo, what the heck? Like, all I asked you was give me like what do you call that thing? The quote essentially of how much it'll cost to like mass produce these things. What I didn't know was that he is not part of the manufacturing. He took it to a different place where they do the manufacturing and then he put his own price on it. But I took my ring back and I was like, I'm not working with you. You're not being straightforward with me. You're not telling me anything. Mm-hmm. And I started figuring out. I started literally walking into every single store in the Diamond District. The Diamond District is known for scammers. Like, it's a risk I took. And I eventually found this very cute mom and pop shop. They're super cute Hispanics. They've had that shop for ages. And it's between a family. Like, the dad, the granddad is there. The mom, his daughter is there. The daughter's husband is there. Her daughters are there. So it's very kind of very generational, very family-esque. And I liked it. And, you know, they took me in, started talking. They showed me exactly how it was done back and forth. And even to the last day when I was leaving for LA, I had to go, like, you know, pay my respects and say, oh, you guys, thank you so much. Like, this means a lot to me. You guys helped me make these things. One of my dreams a reality. And if ignited something. That's actually where I actually found a passion on jewelry making. I actually do want to sit there and make it because I saw them do it, and to me, it's something beautiful to it. But yeah, it's more initiative, and the money aspect will come in if you're very disciplined too. Because a lot of people, once they start to make a little bit of coin, it's like, it's good, my boy. Some money came in. Let's go spend it. Let's go to a bar. Let's go. Let's go do that. You know, and I mean. That's all it took. I've made some rings. I have the money set aside. We're back here in LA. Once I move towards the Diamonds District or towards the city, we'll get back at it and I'll figure it out again. And then the money comes in and you figure out how to make it work, essentially.
Oh, yeah.
So finances could be a roadblock if you let it be a roadblock to you. Because even if you don't have money, knowledge is out there on the internet and it's free. You could literally learn anything you want to learn for absolutely $0.
It's also finding like alternatives. I'm sorry, Patrick. I think it also teaches you how to just like be quick on your feet and think how to do like substitutes and replacing. Because I feel like finance is definitely like, as much as we kind of like want to deny it, it's definitely something we always think about, you know. But there's always a way. Where there's a will, there's a way. And I always feel like there can always be always an alternative. Well, depending how big like the project you want it to be. But then that's why we go into like the funding and raising money, you know? Like depending on what that idea is as well. Yeah. But I definitely think, it definitely teaches you how to adapt quickly.
Mm-hmm. Most definitely. Patrick, we'll pass that right back to you. What do you think about the same thing you asked me, mate? You're over there trying to escape. You're sitting there like, oh, I hope they don't get me.
Nah, I'm ready. No, I believe that it is a hurdle. And like I said, speaking about it earlier, even with the podcast, I mean, hell, even when we started it, trying to find the appropriate mic. I mean, we're still in the beginning stages of this, but you know, trying to find
still
a mic
struggling,
that's
fam.
Good quality that without spending $600,000 or something like that. I mean,
an interface, Patrick. We do have the mics.
I'm saying when we first started, that's what I'm saying.
Okay.
When we first were trying to get just the base equipment to build the foundation. And it's not the mics that were purchased were cheap, but you know, you gotta find out what's gonna be best. And you know,
well, I'm pawning this,
man, better send it back.
sure.
But it becomes a challenge, you know, to Hassan's point, like you got to do the research. I mean, how many times, I think every week we probably communicate about a different idea of, oh, we could do this or do that or do this,
how to do it better. That. Yeah,
so it takes a lot of time, but once you finally get there, it feels great because you're like, okay, I got this piece of equipment, or we were able to do this, and now that's going to help improve the podcast. So if you're making a product, it's going to help improve the product. If you're, I don't know, whatever you're doing, like it, you can see, all right, I put the money into it, so it's going to help build it. And I think in those beginning stages, it's not really about if you can turn a profit like that, amazing. Like, hats off to mm-hmm. you. But certain things, it's more so about investing back into the business,
yeah,
to then grow it. And
it's patience and perseverance as well.
Oh, yeah. And I guess to kind of wrap up, I want to go back to what Stalin was saying. I think there's different ways for people to get around this financial hurdle. So if y'all, again, as you're listening to us, we're not the experts. I think we do have some good things to share. So maybe some of this will work for you, and let us know if it is. And if it does, great. Share that with us.
Yeah.
But I think one key thing when you're trying
to grow, all personal anecdotes too.
Oh yeah. When you're trying to grow, I think a good thing is to maybe have investors too. Because if you're someone that's trying to grow your business, or you're an investor as well, investors don't usually put in their own money. Get somebody mm-hmm. else to put that in for you. Mm-hmm. Now, yeah, you'll have to pay that back out, but in the present day, you're not having to go into your own pockets for it.
Yeah. So you can even start investing with your closest friends and family. A lot of businesses mm-hmm. started that way. Like, but you have to make sure it's solid though. So if you know yourself and you know you're not business minded, then you haven't figured it out. Figure it out first. Figure out what goes into a business. Well, how to run it. Like, if you want to make an app, figure out what it, how much do they get paid? What are security and all that jazz before you start reaching out to investors? Because you also have a prototype. I'm off.
Yeah.
Yeah, you were cut off for a bit.
Oh no, I'm off. No, yeah. See, I need to move. We're working on it. Anyways, all I was saying was just be prepared. Uh-huh. This is not my Wi-Fi, man. I told you, it's just part of where I'm at.
Yeah.
My subsequent Wi-Fi, the ones that's coming up, will be very fast. The speed will be faster than files. I promise you that.
Okay. So
was I cut off again or not?
No, you're good. You're good. I just think there's other ways to get around these hurdles. Stalin, what about you? I know you spoke about funding.
How do we get over these? I would definitely say finding different streams of income, mm-hmm. Saving up. Believe it or not, also financing, especially in America, it's very great. Like having good debt. Like, let's say you need a piece of equipment but you're sure that, like, you're gonna like really work with it. It's like me with like my first camera or like certain equipment, like I just financed like 12-year 0% interest rate, you know.
Wow.
So just like buy that equipment and then like divide that into 12 months. So now I know how much I have to pay every month and how much I would have to make in order to like one, like cover that payment, but also have some left money aside to be like profit, you know? So that's like another thing like I did. Financing is very, very, very crucial. I feel like it's helped me advance very quickly and progress quickly without having to take like the financial like burden head on. But of course it's like, you have to be proactive. Yeah, proactive is the words I'm looking for. Because right now, like, yeah, I do have some debt, but it's nothing crazy. Like, I could, like, I have the liquid to, like, clear it off. But if I can, like, wait off on that, like liquidizing that and, like, using my liquidity to pay it off, then I'm going to do that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So now I have this, and, like, every, like, even if I just get 1 gig a month, make sure, like, I price it at a certain level where it's, like, yeah, I cover that expense and anything else. Yeah.
Exactly. And
that's a great point.
You know it, you own your means of production.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And yeah, I feel like a lot of people are scared about like financing stuff. But then if you look at the calculations and like how much you spend on like stuff with when you buy with your credit card, you know, it's like a lot of that is just like bad debt. Bad debt is just like things you buy and don't like have a form. Like they're not going to give back to you, you know? I feel like a lot of people have like bad debt mm-hmm. when it comes to like materialistic things. I mean, like everyone's their own, but like in my opinion, like yeah, my credit card is usually the credit cards are mostly used for like strategic thinking, in my opinion, for me, when it comes to like this film journey I'm going through. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Most definitely. And you're doing great at it. You know, if you guys have any film related questions or anything regarding photography or videography, hit my boy Stalin up on his Instagram as Stalin Lives.
Stalin Lives without the E and Lives.
Okay. Okay, Stalin Lives. You could hit me up regarding fashion, the industry at large, how to get internships, what to do when COVID is here, what is happening with the industry. If you have any questions regarding that, hit me up on Hassan GHQ. I'm not too active on Instagram, but I do promise when I'm back on it, I would respond to every single one of your messages. If not, you can email me. Just figure out my email. Patrick?
Figure out my email. You tell people to figure out. I don't even know your email. Oh, one last thing.
Create a budget. Watch your lip, man. All
right, bro.
No, I'm kidding. Just be an adult. You'll figure it out. No one's going to tell you to budget when your ass is hungry. You're going to know. When you're sitting there hungry. That will teach you how to budget. There's no better way to, like, you know, teach you than experience. True. It's as simple as that. So, don't budget. Wait till it's time to pay rent. And then now you're all assed out. But no, seriously, budget. Find something that works for you. When we say budget, we don't mean it in a strict way. Like, do have a little bit of leeway for yourself, but be very disciplined, too, in your budgeting, you know. And don't compare yourself to others on social media, because you end up assed out spending all your money because you think that's what will make you likable or whatever.
No.
Or just delete Instagram off your phone and live your life. It's just easy as that.
That's an option too. So y'all, as usual, what's one thing you're going to do this week to stay productive, get closer to a dream? Hassan, how you going to find this woman that you claim?
I already found her. She knows who she is. Thank you so much for the gift, actually. I'm not putting that out there on a podcast.
We want to shout out Hassan, girl, whoever she is.
I should record this for her. Yeah, very special. She's very dear to me. Once, you know, we become official, I'll introduce her to y'all. But so far, so good. I actually like talking to her, which is a first, you know.
Yeah, I see my boy.
Yeah, I got a nigga on the podcast. She's like, oh, me and my baby, it's Valentine's Day. You she go.
Oh, yeah, it is Valentine's Day.
I'm cuffed up.
Yeah, damn, Patrick. Stalin is just like, yo, I'm off this. I'm in productivity mode, man. My Valentine's Day baby is my camera.
Stalin about to hit a few, like, yo.
Stalin put rose petals on his camera for Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
he tore up the rose.
Coming to America.
Nah. I had my Valentine's celebration already. Technically, yeah. So I like to do it before the day of. Oh. There's too many people.
He hit it at 12 a.m.
Yeah. Hit her up at exactly 12 a.m. Like, hey,
yo,
what you up to?
12:05, he's out.
Yeah. Nah. He said, yo, I got a pod at 9. I need you to be gone at 7, all right? Let yourself out.
Yeah, that just reminded me of when I used to pod in random places in Brooklyn.
I'm dead.
Like, yo, you mind if I set up right here real quick?
Yeah, go ahead, man.
But yeah, this was fun, man. I miss all you guys, Stalin, Patrick. Podding will be a lot different if we had the same space, but down the line, we're going to get there. We're still experiencing the journey. This is still, you know, in the early stages.
Yeah.
But down the line, Tim's Studios is coming next to you. We're going to be popping. We're going to sign all you prospective podcasters. And we'll give you...
Y'all on your own.
Okay.
What this episode been about? Figure it out, all right?
Yeah. Oh, my God. I'll sign you guys, all right? Because I have a good heart. That guy over there, he's all about the money. But on that note, thank you so much for tuning in. Honestly, we really enjoy it. We do enjoy your feedback. Rate us on Apple Podcasts. Give us a rating, 5-star rating. It helps a lot. It goes a long way. It helps recommend the podcast to others. The previous episode will be out, I think, tomorrow on Monday. And also check us out on Spotify as well, Google Play, wherever you listen to podcasts at. And on that note, the Timzy boys are back and are out in the same sentence.
Peace.
Peace.